Welcome to the baddest biker bar in the investment world. You've just entered the Danger Zone. Yes, it's the Danger Zone here on Money Life. This is where we get the latest take from the experts at New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. They do it by digging in at the footnotes level and working their way up. It's discounted cash flow analysis meets forensic accounting. And when you put it all together, it's really looking for situations where the picture you see when you do a skin-deep surface-level review is different from what you see when you go deep dive. If it's working for you, that's going to make a security attractive. When it works against you, that means the security is dangerous. Want to learn more about how it works? Go to newconstructs.com. Kyle Guskey is investment analyst at New Constructs. Kyle, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Glad to be back. Thanks.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
Pioneer Select Mid-Cap Growth Fund.
Danger, danger.
Pioneer Select Mid-Cap Growth. It's ticker symbol PGOFX. You know, a traditional mutual fund kind of feels like an old school pick to me these days, especially when we're going to talk about things like expense ratios and what have you. But what is it that is making this fund particularly look bad to you right now?
Yeah, this one, you know, taking a little bit back to the basics. Holdings analysis. You know, we look at mutual funds, ETFs, on the basis of what the stocks they're actually holding rather than past performance. And right now in the market, what you're holding matters more than probably in the past, you know, decade. Things aren't moving up and to the right forever anymore. And so we see in this case, you know, a portfolio that is filled with unattractive, very unattractive companies. You got 57% of assets in unattractive or worse stocks. That's much worse than the benchmark, than the S&P 500. You've got sort of, you know, low earnings. The holdings as a whole have like a 14% ROIC compared to the benchmark at 29%. And then on the valuation side, you've got, you know, market implied growth appreciation period upwards of 60 years, much higher than the benchmark. Valuation, price to economic book value, much higher than the benchmark. So you've got companies as a whole less profitable with more expensive valuations than the benchmark and the market as a, you know, the entire S&P 500. So it's just the risk reward here is, you know, heavily weighted on that risk side. And, you know, we see little potential kind of for future outperformance with such a portfolio.
Well, it's interesting to me because fundamentally, this is a ho-hum, boring, kind of mediocre fund. If you're looking at the last 3 years, below average, not in the very bottom. If you're looking at the last 5 years, you know, bottom 20% of its Morningstar peer group, longer term, a little bit better than that. But this is just kind of middle of the pack. It wouldn't get me excited if I saw it in somebody's portfolio, but I wouldn't necessarily think, wow, it's headed for real trouble. So is that part of it that like mediocrity builds up and at some point, you know, you're rolling downhill and you just can't get up?
Yeah. I mean, we definitely, you know, the past, you know, we're not looking at what their portfolio was 10 years ago. We're looking at it right now. And right now, you know, we've got a very unattractive rating, which, you know, means going forward, we expect it to have, you know, very unattractive risk reward. Part of that is, you know, the difference in kind of style classification as well. You know, the peer groups might be different. You know, we classify this as actually an all cap growth fund rather than a mid cap growth, largely because of the holdings they've got. You know, it's, I think 58% of holdings fall within kind of the standard large cap designation. So we've kind of classified it different to the benchmark, and we benchmark it against an all cap growth ETF as well. Compared to the benchmark, compared to the market, we're just seeing, you know, bad risk reward here.
Do you have a problem as well when you've got a company that you believe is miscategorized? In other words, it's a mid-cap growth fund if I believe its name, but it's not a mid-cap growth fund if I believe your take on the portfolio. I know that there are rules within what the SEC says is allowable and the rest, but there are times when funds will and fund companies will tell us we're at the bottom of our peer group because we're not, you know, a great fit for the category or something along those lines. Do you kind of read it the other way? If you're not right where you're supposed to be, if you're not right where you're telling us where you are, it's a problem?
Yeah. I mean, in this case, you know, it's basically if you were to just buy this at face value, you see mid cap, you buy mid cap, and then you dig into the holdings and you're getting mostly large cap, you know, majority. And so it's kind of a, it can be a problem. It doesn't have to be, but, you know, we just bring that to light in sort of, you know, full transparency. People need to know what they're buying. You need to dig in beyond just the name of it. I think there's studies going back, you know, style drift is a thing that can happen as portfolios change and styles might move, but the name of the fund stays the same. And so it's more about transparency, you know, knowing what you're buying, knowing what's in the fund. And in this case, it's not necessarily all mid-cap, even though the name might insinuate as such.
Sometimes when you and I, or when David Trainer and I are talking about funds, we kind of have a bad fund or an exemplar in an area where everything is suffering. So the problem here is more the fund than, well, as you pointed out, it's not entirely a mid-cap fund, but then the space. I mean, if I want to find a mid-cap fund, it's not like I would be looking through the New Constructs database going, can't find anything good, right?
Yes, in the mid-cap growth even, you know, mid-cap style, we've got multiple very attractive ETFs, mutual funds, attractive rated as well. So this is definitely not a mid-cap only problem or an all-cap only problem. This is specific to this fund. And, you know.
Yeah, it happens. I guess it happens more when you've got sectors and the entire sector becomes a problem. In this case, you know, cap weighting is a little bit different. But expenses, I mean, you guys are always worried about expenses. I worry less about them now in the fund world, not because expenses don't always matter, but just because a lot of fund companies have gotten in line and there's not too much bad. These guys are below average on expenses for a stock fund because the expense ratio, if I'm not mistaken, is 1%, which is not horrible, but it's not good. And you give them poor marks there as well, don't you?
Yeah. You know, we look at what we call the total annual costs, which takes into account, you know, any front end, back end loads, expense ratios, transaction costs as well. In this case, you're seeing a, you know, 14 basis point transaction costs, total annual costs there. And we look at it kind of justifying over a 3-year period, which is kind of the average holding period. And sort of to justify its higher fees, this fund has to outperform the benchmark by over 3% over 3 years. And we haven't seen that happen. So, you know, while the expense ratio might look, you know, below average, the total annual costs are actually higher than 91% of the all cap growth funds we've got under coverage. So, you know, we've got significant fees in this case.
And you put it all together, it's why PGOFX, that kind of fund that you could have stuck with and just accepted some measure of mediocrity. But no. It's not just mediocre, it's dangerous. That's why it's in the danger zone this week. Kyle Guske, great stuff. Thanks as always for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Kyle Guske is investment analyst at New Constructs, which is online at newconstructs.com, on Twitter at New Constructs. And check it out for more information on how they do what they do. What do we do here on Money Life? As we get to the end of the show, we get to the market call. Up next, Salem Abraham from the Abraham Fortress Fund will be here talking stocks right after this message.